The Seattle Space Needle turns 50 this weekend. Originally built as a tourist attraction for the 1962 World's Fair, the structure was meant to evoke the future. Well, now that the future is here, NPR's Martin Costi reports the needle has become Seattle's favorite antique.
Former Seattle City Councilman and architect Peter Steinbrook keeps a small piece of abstract sculpture in his office. It used to belong to his father, Victor Steinbrook, also an architect.
He had this sculpture on his home desk in his home office as he worked for several months for John Graham and Company, as along with a team of designers that were trying to come up with a concept design.
A concept design for the Space Needle. It was 1960, and the CEO of the World's Fair wanted a signature tower, something lollipop-shaped, like the TV tower he'd seen in Stuttgart. But Peter's father wanted something more elegant, and he noticed the sculpture. It resembled a narrow-waisted, three-legged dancer with upstretched arms.
And he yelled to his wife, my mother Elaine, "I've got it, I've got it." And he did.
His father later became known for saving Seattle's Pike Place Market from urban renewal. But he also deserves credit for the needle, says son Peter. Victor Steinbrook was proud of how it turned out, and he took it hard in the 1980s when the owners ruined the needle's lines with an extra observation deck. Of course, the needle was never architecturally pure. Conceived as a rotating restaurant and tourist attraction, it was born a little garish. Jeff Wright, whose family owns the Space Needle, recalls the giant gas flame that used to shoot out the top.
You could see it from probably 50 miles away. It was a huge deal, but unfortunately it wasn't very environmentally sensitive. It could heat a small town, the amount of gas they went through it, and we shut it down.
Well, here we are arriving at the top now.
Another thing people tend to forget is that the Space Needle wasn't always white. The flying saucer at the top used to be orange, though that's not the color's official name.
This is Galaxy Gold!
That's Jeff Wright yesterday, walking on the roof of the saucer, more than 500 feet up, ceremonially brushing on the old color. The saucer will remain Galaxy Gold for 6 months for the anniversary.
It's good.
Knut Berger looks down approvingly at the emerging old paint job. Born and raised in Seattle, he's a columnist and now the Space Needle's writer-in-residence. He defends Galaxy Gold.
And you can see how in the sunlight, it looks like tangerine here, but in some of the light it'll actually look a little golder.
Then again, in Seattle, counting on the sun to make a color look right might be considered a design flaw. Gold or orange, Berger says it's better than off-white.
When you look at the day-to-day, it's like, why wouldn't you want to brighten things up a little bit?
For Berger, the real charm of the Space Needle is the way it embodies what he considers Seattle's futuristic utopianism.
There was one architecture critic for the Washington Post who said, it's almost kitsch, but not quite. It doesn't quite go over the line. There's some sincerity there. You still kind of believe in that future. You still have hope.
And yes, a rotating restaurant may be the very definition of kitsch, but that's not how he saw it as a kid.
I actually thought, we're all going to be living in these things. This is, the thing of the future, where, and you'll be able to fly to your friend's house.
Are you disappointed?
Yes. I definitely am.
And Berger wasn't the only one who thought we'd all be living in Space Needles by now. A few months after the fair closed, the Jetsons premiered on TV. And an animator later said that George Jetson's apartment house in the sky had been directly inspired by the Space Needle. Martin Costi, NPR News, Seattle.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.